I would at least like to think I'm a people person. I can get along with some pretty feisty people. I really can. I don't know that I'm good at it, but I try and give an honest effort, and I try to be very careful about my words. But this morning in this service, I want to speak my mind a little bit. And I know that you folks will give me perfect liberty to do that. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the local New Testament church. Thank you, Lord, that I go to a church that's not dead. Thank you, I go to church, Lord, where there's some spiritual electricity in the air. God, where folks are being saved and baptized and where lives are being changed, where those trees of life are blossoming and blooming. God, how wonderful and exciting that is. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this word this morning, not deep, not even close. But, Lord, I pray that you'll take what I believe you've laid upon my heart, and I pray that you'll help me as I try to give it to your people as you've laid it upon my heart. God, we're going to be very honest this morning. We're going to be very pointed. Lord, Brother Roloff used to call this porcupine preaching, and this is where the preacher preaches and the people get the point. And so I pray this morning that you'll, Lord, that you'll anoint us and that you'll fill us and that you'll fill these dear, wonderful people. And I pray that Christ will receive glory and praise from all that's done. May these words make sense and may they glorify the Lord and help us please and change a life. Put somebody on a new path today. Lord, do it. I believe you want to do it. I pray they'll let you do it. And so, Lord, help us this morning, please. In Jesus' name we pray. And for his sake, amen and amen. I want you to look back with me, if you will, please, at several verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look, if you will, please, at verse number 1. Notice Paul's words here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with," notice the phrase here, "excellency of speech." Paul said, you know what, I didn't speak long flowing words and phrases. And he said, you know what, I just sort of told it like it was. And then looking, if you will, in verse number 4, Paul says, "And my speech." Now, he just mentioned speech in verse 1. And now in verse 4, he mentions speech again. But then he tags something on to it there. He says, "And my speech and my preaching," he says, "was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Boy, what a verse that is. Look, if you will, verse number 6, Paul says, "Howbeit we speak." Now, I think we're going somewhere. Paul says in verse number 1, he mentioned speech. And verse number 4, he mentioned speech and preaching. And verse number 6, he mentions speaking wisdom. He said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." Verse 7, Paul says, "But we," what's the next word? Speak. He said, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." And then I want you to skip down. Again, I want you to follow my thought, my thinking here. Paul mentions speech in verse 1. He mentions speech in verse 4. He mentions preaching, which is a form of speaking or speech, in verse number 4. He mentions in verse number 6, he mentions speak. In verse number 7, he mentions speak. In verse number 13, notice what he says. He said, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth and which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And so Paul, several times, Paul mentions speaking, and he mentions speech, and he mentions preaching, and he mentions the idea of getting the message across to the people. But I just thought it was interesting when we come to chapter 3, and you know, of course, the breaks there were put there by man, and so really chapter 2 just carries right on to chapter 3 here. And so Paul mentions all these things about speaking and speech, and then when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak." And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul said, "I have fed you with milk," and then he says, "and not with meat." He said, "For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able? Well, it's interesting to me. Paul said, and this is what I believe Paul is saying. Paul said, that which I wanted to say, I could not say. I mean, he's talking in chapter 2, he's talking about speaking and preaching and teaching and discourse and giving out the word. And then when it comes to chapter 3, Paul says, you know what? The things that I wanted to say, Paul said, I wanted to give you meat. I wanted to give you spiritual meat, but he said, I couldn't do it. He said, I wanted to speak one thing, but he said, you know what? What I wanted to speak and what I was able to speak were two different things. Paul says, that which you really needed me to say, to be quite honest, church, you couldn't handle it at the time. It's exactly what Paul is saying there. Paul is saying, I really wanted to say one thing, but I was forced to say another. I didn't give you any kind of breaks in your handout there. It really just sort of goes in order. But I want to say several things, and then I'll preach just for a few minutes, and we're going to close. I understand this morning, church, that biblically the Christian is supposed to bridle their tongue. I understand all that. James chapter 3, verse number 2, the Bible says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And so James says, man, be very careful about what you say. And he said, don't offend people just for the sake of offending people. And James goes on to talk about bridling the tongue. And he said, you know what? If you can bridle this little thing in your mouth, it's amazing how you can control everything else in your life. But if you never get control over this, you'll never get control over the other things, is what James is saying there. So I understand that biblically the Christian is supposed to bridle their tongue. I also understand that you're counted wise when you hold your peace. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 28, the Bible says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Now, you say, Pastor, what is that saying? And that is saying this, that there are times when we just need to shut up. I mean, that's putting it in street terms this morning, but that's what the Bible's saying there. You know what? There are times when you don't need to come back with something. There are times when somebody says something to you, you don't need to return anything. Just hush. You know, have you ever heard of one of these people who knows everything about everything, and they're always talking about everything, and the more they talk about everything they know, you realize they actually know very little about it? And so the Bible says, you want to seem like you're wise? Just hush. Man, I can do that. I understand that you're counted wise when you hold your peace. I also understand this morning that there is power in our words. Proverbs 18:21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I understand that our speech is to edify others around us. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Listen, does your talk help or does it hinder? Does your talk help or does it hurt? Are people glad to see you come? Or are they thrilled to see you go? And you know what? The Bible says that our speech ought to be speech that edifies. That word edify means build up. It ought to build people up. I understand that our speech is to edify others around us. I understand that we are to season our speech before we speak our talk. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so I believe there that the Bible's saying that before you open mouth and insert foot, you know what? You ought to just stop and you ought to season a little bit and think about what you're getting ready to say and think about the ramifications of it and think what kind of damage it's going to do or what kind of help it's going to do. And boy, isn't this book smart? I mean, man, oh man, what a book right here. And by the way, the things I'm preaching this morning don't just work in church or Sunday school, but the things I'm preaching this morning work in your marriage, work in your family, work in your job. And you know what? That's how the Bible is. Amen. It's just all things to all men. And I understand, listen, I understand all those things. I understand this morning that Christ was our perfect example in controlling our speech. Acts 8:32. The place of the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. You've heard me, if you've been here at Calvary any time, and all of you heard me preach this many times. You know what, church? You simply cannot just always speak your mind. As much as we want to. You know what? There's times when you have to put a governor on that thing. Man, there's times when, you know what, you have to tick a lock. Amen, amen. You know, Barney Fife was pretty wise. He really was. And, tick a lock, put a lock on that thing. And you say, boy, I wanted to say this. Listen, hold on, guard that, be careful, self-control. And I understand this morning that you can't always voice your thoughts. I understand that. But if you would give me just a little bit of grace today, and if you would give me just a little bit of liberty today. Brother, today I want to speak my mind. And if I could speak my mind, there's a few things I'd want to say. Number one, I wrote this down. I would say, first of all, to the lost, get saved. I would say to the lost, get saved. Now, listen, I don't know how this is going to go this morning. I know you're supposed to be nice. I understand you're supposed to be kind. I understand you're supposed to speak well. And I don't want to offend anybody this morning. And I didn't come here this morning with the goal of offending anybody. Man, I want to help you and encourage you and edify you this morning. But I've also got a responsibility to give you what I believe God's laid on my heart. And I understand the Bible says in Matthew 10 and verse 16 that we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I understand all that. But brother, I want to tell you what, if I could speak my mind, you know what I tell lost people? Brother, you better get saved. I mean, you better get saved. You know what? Sometimes I just want to look at lost people and say, sir, do you know there's a hell? I mean, sometimes they look back at me like a calf looking at a new gate. It's that deer in the headlight look. Like, who cares? I know, please give me some grace this morning. I know you can't do this. I'm not saying that you ought to do it, but sometimes I just want to look back through the door and say, sir, if you die, you're going to split hell wide open. Now, I know I can't. I know I can't. I know I've got to be nice. I know I've got to be cordial. I know I've got to be personable. I know I've got to guard my words. I know that I've got to be kind. I know that I've got to be Christ-like. I understand all that. But I want to tell you what, brother, if I could speak my mind, sometimes I just want to look at people and say, sir, there's a hell that's burning. And you know what? We're just going to get all past this, all this fluff. And I just want to tell you, if you die in your sin, you're going straight to an eternal everlasting hell. I just, you know what? I'm not going to apologize, but sometimes I wonder, man, do people really believe that there's a hell? Man, I think about that story I've told before. Fellow was on death row and had already been convicted by a jury of his peers and he was on the green mile for a while and his date of execution came up. They gave him his last meal, and a little bit later on, the warden came down. Several guards came down. He was in shackles and they came down, unlocked his cell, began to walk down that green mile to that electric chair. And there was a chaplain there, a priest or a chaplain or something. And they're walking down that long corridor to that execution place. And this chaplain was just reading over some scriptures as they were walking down the hallway there, just reading some scriptures. And all of a sudden he came to some scriptures about hell, and he was reading those scriptures on hell without any kind of passion, without any kind of burden, without any kind of tear, just reading over those scriptures on hell with a monotone voice, no care attitude, apathetic spirit. And all of a sudden that inmate on death row stopped right there in that corridor, and he looked at that so-called preacher, and he said, preacher, he said, I'm getting ready to die in just a few minutes, but if I don't tell you something before I die, he said, if I believed that stuff that you're reading from that book right there, that there's a hell like you're reading about, he said, I'd not only not read it monotonely, he said, I'd crawl across England on my hands and knees across broken glass. He said, I'd shout it from the highest housetop, and I'd say, hey world, there's a hell, there's a hell, there's a hell, there's a hell. And I want to say this morning, church, hey Calvary, there is a hell this morning. There is a hell. I know that's not politically correct. I know you're not going to hear that on the TV today. I know that that doesn't sell books and sell CDs. But I'm telling you, my dear friend, there is a hell that burns this morning. And if I could speak my mind, I'd just say, brother, there is a hell. Man, you know what? Sometimes we just need to tell it like it is, don't we? You know what I thought about? Dr. Gray used to tell a story. He was dating a Catholic girl at the time. And he had asked her, he said, Leanne, he said, why don't you go to church with me? And she was going to Catholic church. He was going to Baptist church. And so she agreed that she would go to church with him. So they went to church that day. Brother Gray said they sat back, you know, I think on this side toward the back, and they got sat down. Music service went on for a little while. All of a sudden, the pastor got up. And the pastor said, folk, I'll not be preaching today. He said, actually, we have several of our preacher boys that are going to be filling the pulpit. And Brother Gray said, I sat there in horror. And I thought, oh, Lord, how one of my preachers preach today? He said, I want my Catholic girlfriend to hear the gospel. I want my Catholic girlfriend to hear about Jesus. And my preacher was at a way at dealing with people. And Brother Gray said, the pastor introduced that first preacher boy. He came up, my dear friend, he didn't even know what homiletics was. Amen. I mean, never been to a homiletics class, didn't know how to preach. Nobody ever taught him how to preach. And I mean, brother came up to the pulpit, never told a joke, not one joke. I mean, didn't smile, didn't warm up to the people, didn't meet, didn't greet. I mean, buddy, he bypassed all of that. And brother, walked straight up to the pulpit and said, if you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, you're going to go straight to hell. Boy, I mean, he just dove in, started preaching on that, and Brother Gray said, I wanted to crawl under the pew. He said, I was thinking, oh, my soul, my soul. He said, for the next few minutes, that preacher boy just got up there and didn't do anything. I mean, brother, just yelled and screamed and said, if you're lost, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, after a little while that, he said, my girlfriend, he said, she got up, she ran out the back. Brother Gray said, oh, no, oh, no. And so he said, a few minutes later, he sort of slipped out, you know, tried to slip out under the radar. And he went outside and he found his girlfriend. He said she had her head in her hands. And he said, I went up to my girlfriend. I started apologizing. He said, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know the pastor. I'm sorry. He said, all of a sudden, she took her hands away. And she looked at him. And tears were streaming down her cheeks. And she said, you know what? He's right. He's right. I'm going to hell. He's right. I need to get saved. Hey, and got gloriously born again. I want to tell you what, brother. You know what? It's about time that we get past all the cutesy pie stuff. And just say, my dear friend, there is a hell that's burning alive with a lake of fire. And man, if you don't get saved, you're going to go there. Now, I know, listen, I know what you're thinking. You're, wow, preacher, this is Sunday morning. I know it. I'm with you. This is what God said, preach though. Hey, brother, if I could speak my mind. Listen, sometimes we visit people and knock on their doors and we get, brother, I mean, so little regard for the things of God. I mean, but it is disturbing. We went away from visits yesterday, not discouraged, but disturbed. Because I want to just ask people, sir, do you know there's a hell? We love preaching on heaven. We love Southern gospel music about heaven. We love singing about those streets of gold. And I'm going to mention Hallelujah Square and Grandma singing song by the angels and all that's well and all that's good. But my dear friend, did you know that Jesus preached many more times on hell than he ever preached on heaven? I'm telling you, there is a hell. There is a hell. There is a hell. And listen, and we need to get excited about it. Amen. About sharing our faith. Yes, Brother House was at the Bill Rice Ranch. Years have been many, many years ago. He was at the Bill Rice Ranch, and he said that in the morning they would take a horseback ride to a little campsite area, and they would fix breakfast out over the campfire. And he said they were all in a big group on horseback, and they were riding to this little area, and he said there was a young preacher that rode up beside Brother House, he said, Brother House, I'm just brand new in the ministry. And he said, I'd like to get some advice from you. And Brother House said, all right. He said, well, sir, he said, I want to know. He said, what kind of preacher should I be? He said, should I be one of these deeper, lifer preachers that gets up, you know, in front of the pulpit and says, bear with me as I break unto you the word of God for the next 15 minutes. And you know why he does that? The kids pass notes and the older people sleep. He said, should I be sort of that deeper life or style preacher? Or he said, should I be one of these hellfire damnation preachers? And Brother House, they're riding on horses. Brother House said, is there hell? Rode on. Well, a little bit later, that same preacher came up beside Brother House. He said, Brother House, he said, I'm trying to get some advice. He said, I'm brand new in the ministry. And he said, I want to know what kind of preacher I should be. He said, should I be a deeper lifer kind of preacher? Or should I be one of these passionate hellfire damnation preachers? And Brother House said, is there a hell? And rode on. Well, a little bit later, that young preacher came up and he was a little bit flustered. He said, Dr. Howells, I thought you were going to help me. He said, I'm trying to get some advice. What kind of preacher should I be? And Brother Howells said, is there a hell? 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 And rode off. And that young man was a little bit perplexed. Wait a minute. Months and months passed. Dr. Russell Anderson saw Brother Howells. He said, hey. He said, man, I was in a dynamite meeting the other day. He said, this young preacher got up to preach. He said, I talked to him, and he said, he talked to you at the Bill Rice Ranch. And he said, what was his name? Brother Anderson said, I can't remember his name, but he said, man, he got up behind that pulpit, and he said he preached with Holy Ghost unction. And Brother House said, what did he preach? He said, he preached on, is there a hell? You know what, my dear friend? There is a hell in there. There is a hell. You know what? Sometimes I just want to look at the lost and say, Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Luke 16:23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to him. He dipped the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I'm not condoning you going to somebody's door and being unkind. I'm not condoning that at all, and I'm not planning on doing it myself. And I'm just saying, brother, if I could speak my mind, sometimes I just want to bypass all this. Well, you got a nice place here. Oh, is that a collie? Oh, I see you got a Mustang out there. I like your Mustang. You know what? Sometimes, brother, I just want to skip all that. Because I'm afraid sometimes looking at their collie ain't getting the job done. And sometimes looking at the artwork on the wall ain't getting the job done. And sometimes I feel like I just need to look at people that are spiritually dead and spiritually can't discern and say, sir, I love you in Christ. I love you. But I'm here to tell you today that if you die in your sin, you, my friend, will go straight to hell. If I could speak my mind. If I could speak my mind, I'd say to the lost, get saved. If I could speak my mind, I'd tell the clock to stop. Amen. Can I just hit this and go to the next thing? If I could speak my mind, I'd say to the lost, get saved. If I could speak my mind, I'd say to the lazy, get a job. Please understand this morning, I understand unemployment is probably at an all-time high in America. And people are struggling with jobs. I understand all that. Believe me, how well we know. My wife lost her job sometime back. We understand. It's hard to find a job right now. I understand all that. Listen, if you lost your job and you're unemployed, I understand all that. I think there's a difference in somebody who loses their job and is legitimately unemployed and somebody who could be working a job but just won't work a job. There's a big difference.
And I just sometimes I just, you know what? Sometimes I want to say, you know, sometimes I want to say to the politicians, why don't you quit just mamby-pambying around and trying to please everybody? And why don't you just tell people, man, go fill out some applications. Hey, young men, did you know the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. In other words, fellas, as a young man, listen, you ought to get a job and work a job. Don't you? Listen, I love you this morning. I love you, but I love you enough to tell you how it is this morning. And if this be my downfall, then let it be. But I'm telling you, God never called young men to stay in the house and play video games all day long or sit there on your telephone and play telephone games all day long. Brother, put your phone down, put the controller down, and go get a job. If I could speak my mind, I said. And this is what they say. They say, well, but preacher, they didn't offer me but $8 an hour. Amen. And I want to tell these kids now, I want to tell them, do you know what I made when I started working? I mean, brother, it was peanuts. It was chump change. But you know what? At least I had a job. At least I could put some gas in my truck and I could get down the road. Brother, how many know that $8 is better than $0? Brother, I'm telling you what, you may not have a biscuit with ham and egg, but a biscuit with butter is good if you don't have anything. That'll preach, brother. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:22, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. For this is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Ecclesiastes 5:18, behold, that which I have seen it. He said, it's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life. Look at this now, which God giveth him, for it's his portion. Because that guy, he's just got so much. Well, you know what? Come here and talk to me about that guy. He works all the time. And when other people are getting up at 10:30 in the morning, he's already been at it 5 hours. You know what? I'm going to tell you what, brother. I ain't the preacher to do it probably, but this kind of stuff ought to be preached all over America. Amen. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know what that means? Brother, provide for your family. Whatever you got to do. You say, well, I would never stoop to flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. Brother, let me tell you something. I don't want to work at McDonald's, but if I had to work at McDonald's to feed my wife and kids, brother, you're looking at the next McDonald's worker. Amen. And by the way, you're looking at the, well, I'm not going to say that. Amen. If I could speak my mind, I'd say to the lost, get saved. If I could speak my mind, I'd say to the lazy, get a job. I think this is probably what God dealt with my heart about the other day. If I could speak my mind, I understand you got to be nice. But if I could speak my mind, I'd say to the lingering, get right. Get right. Get right. Elijah said, in 1 Kings 18:21, how long halt ye between two opinions? Man, sometimes, I'm not saying I would ever do it, but sometimes I want to reach into the door and grab people by their lapel and say, how long are you going to live this lifestyle? I don't do it. I say, hi, we're from Calvary. We'd love to have y'all. Missing you at church. Hope to see you back. Try to be kind. Try to be personable. Try to be nice. But sometimes if I could speak my mind, I just want to say to people in America, how long are you going to linger in that land of sin? How long are you going to live out there in that land of no joy? No contentment. like just busting out crying right now. I'm telling you, brother, my heart's hurting so bad right now for people. Brother, I want to tell you what, if they could only experience the joy that I'm experiencing in my life and the peace and the contentment and the satisfaction, and I just want to reach out sometimes and say, brother, how long are you going to live in that land of no contentment and no gladness and no joy and no smile? Listen, how long are you going to lay in that mess? Man, oh man. You know what I want to say? To parents sometimes, I want to say, how long are you going to drag your kids through that kind of lifestyle? Lord, help me. Sometimes I just want to say to parents, I want to say, what are you thinking? Don't you see what you're doing to your kids? I mean, brother, don't you see how your kids, their spirit is broken and closed up? And don't you see how your kids are getting bitter? Don't you see how your kids have no joy? Don't you see how your kids have no satisfaction? And I want to just reach out sometimes, and I want to grab some daddies and say, hey, man, why don't you start being a dad? I said this other day. But it's true, isn't it? The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. If our mothers in America only knew the influence that you have over your children. I'm telling you, moms, if mothers only knew. And Justin, is this true or not? We were out visiting yesterday, and they act like they don't give a care in the world. I hope I'm not getting over in the flesh. I want to look at some of these parents and say, hey, hey, mom. Hey, mom, snap out of it. Do you know what that is standing beside you? Hey, mom, hey, hey. Hey, mom, hey, hello. I mean, brother, we stared in the boob tube for so long. I mean, you know what? We're living in a daze now. I mean, brother, we don't even live in reality anymore. I mean, brother, we're so satisfied with the muck and the mire and the pig pen and the mess and the fighting and the fuming and the fussing and the divorce court. Brother, we're so satisfied. I mean, brother, we are spiritually, we are messed up. And I want to say to those moms, mom, you understand what that is right there? That's your daughter. You're supposed to be setting the example. You're supposed to be setting the example. Long time since I told this story. Daddy tucked his family into bed. Had a little boy. Took out a little boy in his bedroom, and he put him in the bed, and he pulled up his covers, and he put a kiss on his brow. House was quiet. It was late. It was dark. It was snowing outside. Daddy got her nerves to get a drink. He said, nobody will ever know. My wife's laying down. It just took my little boy in. Nobody will ever know. Tavern just down the street. He walked to the closet. He put on his snow boots. Everybody listen to me? And some of you teenagers that have younger siblings, one of these days, you're going to answer to Almighty God. Because a little brother or a little sister followed right smack dab in your footsteps. And so he put his snow boots on, and he put his coat on, and he put his hat on, and he went to the outer door, and he just sort of opened it real easy so it wouldn't squeak, and he stepped out in that snow, and he shut the door easy, and he started walking toward that old tavern. What he didn't realize was that little boy wasn't always asleep. That little boy who had tucked into bed stuck his head out in the hallway, and he saw Daddy getting his coat on, his snow boots on. He saw Daddy slip out the door, so the little boy went down, same closet, pulled up those snow boots, put on that coat, pulled that hat down on his little ears sticking out, opened that door real easy, stepped out and shut it. Daddy was almost to the tavern. It was snowing heavily when he just felt like there was something that was telling him he ought to turn around and look.
And that daddy turned around and he looked. And when he looked, this is what he saw. He saw that little boy. And this is what he was doing. He was walking in daddy's snowy footprints. He had to stretch because he's just a little guy. Going the same way, same direction. On his way to the same destination that daddy was going to. Sometimes I just want to say, if I could speak my mind, I want to say the lingering. How long are you going to mess around before you get right? What's it going to take, by the way? Is it going to take a child getting killed? Is it going to take sickness to come or financial problems to come? Man, why don't we just say, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm going to get right. I want to be the mom and the daddy I ought to be. I want to be the Christian I ought to be. Lord, listen, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, you know what we'll have some folks today? We'll have some folks come down this altar and say, I'm getting it today, preacher. I'm getting it today. I ain't leaving. Preacher, don't close the doors until I get it. I ain't leaving. Ain't leaving. Preacher, ain't leaving. Listen, I ain't leaving until I get it. I'm going to get saved. Father, we love you. And we thank you for your blessings. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. He's working right now. I feel him working. Lord, I pray right now that you get a hold of hearts. And Heavenly Father, to those who are under the sound of my voice who may not know for sure that they're going to heaven, I pray today will be the day that they will trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Father, right now, you're dealing in their hearts. They feel something going on inside. Lord, help them to realize that's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit of God working. And Father, I pray that in just a moment they'll slip out and come. And let us take the Bible and show them how they can know Jesus Christ. Oh, it's personal Savior. Know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. I pray they'll come. And then, Lord, I pray you'll help us to have some folks who, Lord, are sort of half in, half out, lingering. God, give us some parents who'll come and get on this old-fashioned altar today and say, Lord, no more. No more. We're getting in. We're going to get serious about this thing of serving Jesus. Lord, give us some teenagers. Give us some teenage brothers. Some brothers this morning that have younger siblings. That brother that has a younger brother watching his older brother. He thinks there's nobody like his older brother. God, help that brother to realize if he don't get things straightened out, he's going to lead that sibling astray. God, help that older sister work in that mother's heart and that dad's heart. Work in that child of God's heart. God, help us this morning, please. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I want to ask a question just very quickly.